Let's go before the Father as we approach the Word of God this morning. And again, it is an honor to always share the Word of God. Last week, I'm still in a glow of what an awesome job that you guys did. Reverend Jackson and I drove out of town kind of together, and we just wanted to see the billboard that said Harvest Party, that I hadn't gotten a good picture of it. It was in town, and it has our church name on it. It's right there in the center of town by the traffic light, and where East Main connects with 117. And it was just really neat to see that. And I noticed something really cool. On the top of that sign, it says Mount Kisco is the big little village. And Reverend Jackson and I kind of looked at each other. Today, we kind of were that big little church, doing a big thing. Even though we might be Gideon's 300 men, we did a big thing. And we want to keep doing those big things. Keep outreaching and see what God does. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to us, your faithfulness, God, to this church over these almost 20 years, God, where you have been involved in building this church. And Father, I thank you, God, that you sustain us, you take us through, and even supply us abundantly above and beyond, Lord, in seasons that we have walked through. And so, Father, as we take hold of the Word of God today, Lord, I thank you for giving us an open heart, open eyes, open ears, God, that we would truly hear what you're saying to us, that we would apply it, and that we would grow from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I started off with the service, First Chronicles, and I'd like to start there in this particular sermon that I'm bringing to you. And today I want to talk to you about authentic worship. Authentic worship. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens, and it says, honor and majesty are before him, strength and gladness in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise God forevermore. Now let's turn over into the New Testament. In the New Testament, we want to turn over to an opening there in Colossians. Colossians. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16 and 17 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Then one last opening that we'll go and look at. 1 Thessalonians 5. And if I'm going too fast, try to just jot it down if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm reading out of the New King James. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As we enter this Thanksgiving season where the world just talks about Thanksgiving, I want to talk about authentic worship. Authentic worship. Now, we use that English word worship often. We talk about how worship, you know, sometimes, you know, especially in church circles, they talk about praise and worship, and they make a distinction between praise and worship. And that's more of a style distinction, and maybe, if you will, it's not as much of a word-based distinction as it is more of a style-based thing. In our circles, when we speak of praise, we speak of speaking about God, singing about God, and then worship is singing to God. And I kind of like that for our working definitions and for our working understanding of praise and worship. But I want to go beyond just praise and worship in the musical sense, and I want to talk about authentic worship and what that means for us as believers, how we can enter in to authentic worship. The word worship in the English language means to find worth and value and honor and respect in something, and specifically directed at God. Specifically directed at God. And so I was thinking about that, and I said, okay, Lord, if that's authentic worship is supposed to be finding worth and value, I came across an interesting stat that I wanted to share with you. And it is talking about how, you know, in our society growing up, people talked about going to worship. You know, I'm going to a worship service. Where do you worship is a question. Maybe for some of you who might have grown up in more liturgical backgrounds, maybe Catholic or Episcopalian, where do you worship? And they'll say, well, I worship at Saint. And then usually it's they talk about what parish they're a part of. And so we've kind of taken this word worship and we've given it a very broad meaning. But sometimes I do think it loses a little bit of its import and its impact. If we truly are going to find our worth, our find value, respect, and honor into something, I think it's interesting that currently, right now, in the United States, some things have really, really changed when it came to worship and when it came to actually attending worship services. The Barna Group, which is a famous church Christian statistician, they have come across and come up with a lot of statistics regarding church attendance, regarding things of that. And this question was asked, what, if anything, helps Americans grow in their faith? So the Barna Group asked people of a variety, and asked a very wide variety of people, asked them, what causes them to grow in their faith? And people gave these answers. Prayer. Okay, that's good. Family, friends, reading the Bible, having children. But guess what? Church didn't even crack the top 10 list. That's interesting. And although church involvement was once a cornerstone of American life, U.S. adults today are evenly divided on the importance of attending church. While half, 49%, say it's somewhat or very important, the other 51% say it is not too or not at all important. The divide between religiously active and those resistant to church going impacts American culture, morality, politics, and religion. Looking to the future, generations do not paint an optimistic picture for the importance of church going. Millennials, those are 30 or under, stand out as the least likely to value church attendance. Only 2 in 10 believe that it is important. Now, this may sound like a terribly, just depressing stat, Pastor Doug. And I want us to kind of flip this on its head just for a moment to realize that we have an answer. We have an answer to that. Because when we find our value as believers, as church-going people, when we find the worth, the respect, the value, the admiration with our Heavenly Father, I believe that it has an impact for those around us. And so when we talk about authentic worship, I want us to put it in the context not just of a church attendance, because although that is a part of it, it's not the only part of it. You can worship in your car. You can worship at home. In fact, if you develop a lifestyle of worship, your life will be found up and caught up in the worth and value of our Heavenly Father. The worth, what we value is Him. Our life will be poured out in so that those around us see that we are people who value, who worship, who respect Almighty God. And there is something very, very powerful about that. Because as we read, earlier in the Colossians, go back to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, what did it say? It said there in Colossians 3, right here, and it said this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do," verse 17, "in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Hallelujah. So when we actually apply the word of God in this arena, it doesn't matter what the culture does. God has always had a people. He's always had a remnant. And I want to tell you what worship is not. Worship is not just singing. Worship is not just attending a church service. Worship is truly finding respect, awe, and value and honor in spending time with our Heavenly Father. What a privilege, what an honor to be able to come into His presence with singing. You can do that. I think one of the wonderful ways that Reverend Ennis has brought this idea of the ukulele band, and what it has done, and the encouragement that he gives us each week that he and Reverend Christine are helping us learn some songs and some chords, is he says, you can worship in your private space at home. And you know, when he's up here and he's got that little ukulele, and he's got that big smile, and he's sharing the love of Jesus, he talks about, you can just worship God with one chord. And how many of you know, if you can't learn anything on the ukulele but just put that one string down and strum, it sounds good. And you can play the ukulele, right? And last week we had over 20 people playing the ukulele, and you can't play the ukulele sad. And here's the thing, you can't worship God and be sad. And stay sad. You might walk in sad, but you can't stay there. Because God will lift you up. The word tells us that He inhabits the praise of His people. I believe that's Psalm 22. He inhabits the praise of His people. That means that He lives inside, and He lives inside of that praise. So when we praise God, we're not just singing. You can go to a concert and sing. That's not worship. You know, you can get excited about a football team, but that's not worship. Yeah, you might be showing honor. You might be showing reverence to a certain thing or homage to a certain thing, but that's not worship. In fact, John 4, turn with me to John 4, please. We want to talk about authentic worship. And as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, I want us to be, just do a little self-inventory about your worship. You see, your worship is not, it's not just singing. It's, where's your heart connection? Where is your heart connection? So John chapter 4, when Jesus was dealing with the woman at the well, one of the things he said, as he said in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming," verse 23, "and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We're talking about authentic worship. Authentic worship starts with the spirit. Authentic worship starts with the spirit. It's not just a song. That's why it's not how great the musicians are in a church. Thank God we've got good musicians. It's not how great the singers are. Thank God we've got good singers. It's not how polished a service is. I've been to services where the music was polished, but I felt like it was so dry. What was that? There's got to be a heart connection with who's worshiping. Because if it is just performance, guess what? It's like going to a concert, right? You see, true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. I was speaking to one of my friends who's heavily involved in Christian music, and we were talking about the concept of worship and how worship has gotten a lot of attention in recent years. The last 20 years, there are popular worship bands. There are worship movements, if you will. There are groups that are just known to sing worship songs, and that's what, and they've made their fame on how good they can come up with songs. And my friend said to me, he says, you know, that's why that song was written, coming back to the heart of worship. And there was a song that came out, it was probably about 15 years ago, I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. Because when the music stops or fades away and I'm just with you, it's heart to heart worship, spirit to spirit communication. The God is spirit, and he is telling us to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just attending a worship service, it's putting your whole being into a service, into your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You know, there are people who sometimes church shop. And what I mean by that, they're looking for a local church. Maybe they move to a community and they need to find a local church. And that's perfectly fine, you know, to do that. I'm not negating that you should do that. But sometimes people will choose a church based on their music. Was their music good? Rather than, I'm coming to bring a part of me into worship. I'm coming to bring my whole self and say, God, I'm here for you. You know, one of the beautiful things that I learned in my early Christian life was that just to not care about who's looking at you. Not care about who hears you or sees you. Right. Not care about whether you've sung on key or off key. Here's the truth of the matter. Everybody can sing.
That's true.
Not everyone should record. Okay, but everybody can sing. Lift your voice. You know, I long for the day that our church, and I realize we come from all different backgrounds. The big little church in Mount Kisco comes from all different backgrounds. We are very diverse. In fact, it has been noted by friends and people who've come to visit. They say, wow, for the size of your church, you're very diverse. And I thank God for that. Because when I decided and knew that God was calling me to pastor, I said, God, if you're calling me to pastor, don't just give me a church that looks like me. Give me a church that looks more like heaven. Bring us all together. Right? And he's done that over these last 20 years. But the thing that gets me excited about this is that I think heaven's going to be a noisy place. If you read in the book of Revelation, which is an amazing picture of what worship is going to be like in heaven, it's going to be noisy. If you've ever been to a really loud concert before and you had to put, you know, like tissue in your ears or wear earplugs to even survive, then think about that. That's going to be like that in heaven. Because the thunderous voices of the angels and the redeemed who are saying, holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, church, we might as well start practicing. I'd like, your pastor would love our church to be more vocal. What I mean by that, maybe your tradition you came from is everything's really quiet, you know? And that's okay, I'm not slamming that. But I would love for us to be more expressive in worship. Why? Because that expression is something that's going on the inside. Not always. I've seen people just be noisy to be noisy. Okay? And inevitably, there's a balance to everything. Okay? There is a time to shout. And there is a time to be quiet. And there are moments in, I've been in youth camps, and Pastor Christine can attest to this, where we've had 200 kids on their knees in an auditorium, and you could hear a pin drop for more than 30 seconds. And then if you listen, you'll start to hear weeping. Teenagers in the presence of God. I've also been in services where they were running because they were so excited about God and shouting to the top of their lungs. In this space, in this service, we've had services where we had to move the chairs because there was just people down front getting prayed for and the Spirit of God falling and some people not even being able to stand in the presence of God. I long for the day that we just experience all of God in worship. Because worship is to find our entire worth, our entire being caught up in the things of God. And that worship could take on a quietness. It can take on a loudness too. It can take on a hallelujah. I remember I was in a service one time. And Pastor Hagen, it was at Rhema Bible Church. Pastor Hagen was preaching. And just kind of like right in the middle. I mean, right in the middle. Almost seemed like, well, that was kind of odd. There was a man on the front row. Just man on the front row. Very, very distinguished looking man. He always walked in with a cane. Like a nice cane that had the silver thing on the top. And he always came in dressed really nice. Very proper, scarf around his neck. Kind of a little robust of a man, but he would sit on the front row. He would worship God. And, you know, this is a 2,000 seat on the bottom floor, another 2,000 in the balcony. You know, I think it's 2,500, I think, on the bottom floor and 2,000 in the balcony. And it was pretty full that Sunday morning. Choir was up in the choir loft. And I mean, people are worshiping, and all of a sudden, this man just lets out a woo! And I mean, he just starts to dance. You remember that? He starts to dance, and Pastor Hagen just kind of stepped aside, just stepped from the pulpit, and this man danced down on the front row. Everybody was seated. Danced down on the front row. I mean, I'd been there for over a year, never saw this man move. But something touched him. Listen, when something touches you and you... Oh, yeah, that's right. So, and I mean, he just went to dancing. His scarf went one way. His cane went another way. And then it got a little bit quiet. Everybody's like, wonder what's going on. And then he just kind of flopped right there on the front row. And I thought, oh no, these are those crazy Pentecostals, aren't they? And, you know, I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden Pastor Hagen says, I know this man's story. And if you knew what he'd been through, you would be jumping and dancing with him for the victory that he has received. And as soon as those words were said, it was as if a dam broke and the water came rushing in. And I mean, choir robes were going crazy. People just started rejoicing in the Lord and just praying. praising God with their whole being.
Yeah.
David, in the Old Testament, when he came back into, after a battle, he came back into Jerusalem. It said that he danced with his whole heart and being before the Lord. And somebody scorned him. Looked at him and said, oh, look how undignified. Do you know when we worship God and give him our praise in every way, our whole being, I believe that what happens is God honors that. I'm not advocating that you run and dance and jump every single time church starts. But what I am saying is this, be willing to give it your all. The Bible says to worship him in spirit and in truth. The in spirit is spirit to spirit connection. There have been times when we have had amazing things happen, even over there at the Knights of Columbus. There was one Sunday when Patrick Vandiver, how many remember him?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, he was with us on a Sunday morning in December. And Patrick just started singing an old song, an old hymn. And Brother Norm Elliott in the back row just got so blessed. He was sitting and he got up, danced a jig, and then ended up in the floor.
He sat down and then fell out.
And then fell out. And people thought, oh no, he might have had a stroke. No. We had medical people went and checked him. He's fine. And then I asked him, I said, Brother Norm, now he's in heaven now. You know, but I said, Brother Norm, what was that all about? He said, my back was hurting me from arthritis, and all of a sudden the arthritis just left me, and I had to praise God. I don't know if Sister Rebecca Elliott's watching or not, but they're on. But it blessed me. Do they remember that? Are they giving a heads up on that? Okay, praise God. Well, anyway, that. It was awesome. I called him just to find out if he was okay.
Yeah.
Just find out. I just wanted to find out what happened. You know, and he told me, he says, I just was blessed. He said, Pastor, the Spirit of God was there. I just felt the Spirit of God heal me in my back. And he just got up and just danced and praised God. So what am I saying? Your whole heart, spirit to spirit. And then worshiping in truth. We read that in Colossians, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You know, don't get into a ditch one way or another. You know, we don't get into a ditch that we have to run and shout and dance and nothing's there. But don't get into a ditch where we're so quiet that when God's doing something that we don't recognize that and jump in. Because there are times when I tell you the Spirit of God, and I believe that what Reverend Jackson was praying, he was prophesying that signs and wonders are going to follow and people's lives are going to get changed and touched by the power of God, because there's nothing like being in the presence of God and it changing us. In fact, every time you come, every time you log in, every time you give God something to work with, God will meet you. Because it's an experience with God, as well as that we are obedient to the Word. It's not just experience. It's experience based in the Holy Writ. That God wants us to experience all of Him in worship. That's finding worth, respect, honor, and dignity. And giving Him our all in everything we do. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Praise God. Worshiping in spirit and truth. We're talking about authentic worship. Okay. All right. So, let's just stand to our feet right now. Let's thank God just for a moment. I'm going to pray for you, and then you could be seated after that again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you have ministered your great grace of your word to your people today. Father, I know that there are some people that are hurting. There are some people that need healing. There are some people that need help. They need wisdom from the Holy Spirit. They've got burdens that they walk in with. But Father, I pray that right now, Lord, that you would just, because of your presence in this place, as we find our worth, our value, our worship in you, God, that you would be glorified. Lord, that you would minister that great grace. Minister to your people in the name of Jesus. Minister to your people right now, right now. If you're hurting, you need healing in your body, I want you to raise your hand right now. Say, I need it. I need it. I need a touch from heaven. Father, there are hands raised all throughout here. There may be somebody that are watching online right now. Lord, I pray your healing virtue, that as we worship, God, that your presence will come to bear in that place. Your spirit would minister spirit to spirit. And Father, that we worship with our whole being. We don't just attend worship, but Father, we experience it and we live worship to everybody around us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that those that have their hands raised, Lord, that you would bring healing, bring hope where there is a hopelessness, where there is a relational difficulty, where there is a financial lack, where there is a job situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring wholeness to your people now and wisdom to them. Release them from pain in the name of Jesus. Be released from the constant pain in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated just for a moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're just going to sing this song a little bit. We're going to just thank God.